afternoon. This is your Captain Joe, and I'm broadcasting to you live, unscripted, and unrehearsed from the Coast Guard Air Station in Traverse City, Michigan, which is my custom, as you all know. Wherever I happen to be in the world, that's where I do my broadcast. It is one bell of the afternoon watch in Seattle, and it is seven bells of the afternoon watch here in Traverse City. A wonderful, and I am surrounded and immersed in my own service, which I loved from the very first day that I walked through the gate at the academy when I was 17 years old. I have a wonderful group of people here with me that are going to be talking to you, the commanding officer of the air station of Traverse City, a senior enlisted, senior chief Hirsch, and a very young looking, but no doubt mature beyond his years, Petty Officer Murphy. And they're all of us going to talk a little bit about their way of thinking about the Coast Guard. But first of all, my greetings go out all over the world to Captain Joe's people everywhere, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital on the other side of the world. And in particular to Coast Guard people here in Traverse City, who are being looked after and watched over and protected and guarded by the commanding officer and all of the people he's privileged to command here at the Coast Guard Air Station, Traverse City. The binnacle list this week is at least static. I don't have to add any who are crossing the bar. And at the same time, I've not gotten any reports of people who are leaving the binnacle list in the Captain Joe from the captain's chair approved way. So we move on now, and I am going to start with Petty Officer Murphy. I'm going to start with Petty Officer Murphy because it's my custom to start with the junior people and then working around the wardroom table and after Petty Officer Murphy. And so the first thing I'm going to ask you, young Petty Officer Murphy, is how long you have been here at the air station. And I see that you are wearing aircrew wings, so you have completed the qualifications for that. So now you get the opportunity to talk to Captain Joe's people all over the world about your life here in Traverse City and a little bit about how you came into the Coast Guard and a little bit about your aspirations of what you would like to do in the Coast Guard. Over to you there, young man.
Thank you, Captain Joe. I'm Petty Officer Murphy. I've been in the Coast Guard for just shy of 5 years now. I've been a part of Air Station Traverse City for a little over 2 years. My wife and I, we got to the area January 1st of 2021, walked into Traverse City, and through the COVID and New Year's Day, it was kind of a ghost town, but quickly got acclimated to the air station, and yeah, that's been a ride ever since. Before talking about the air station side of things, a little bit of where I've come from. Before the air station, I spent about 2.5 years on the Coast Guard Cutter Tampa, stationed in Portsmouth, Virginia. It's a 270-foot famous class cutter, and it primarily ran migrant operations and counter-narcotics. So I got to meet a couple aviators, but wasn't necessarily stationed with them on board. I think we transited about 60,000 nautical miles in my time there. Over the course of 5 patrols, got to see a lot of cool things, do some really cool things, but I quickly realized that I didn't want to stay stationed on a cutter. So after talking with numerous air crews, as we would do our like Hitron patrols, I was like, wow, aviation is the life to be. Like, that's what I want. And when I got my pick list for A school, which I'm an AET, an avionics electrical technician, there was a couple different options. Most of it was either the 65 Dolphins, there was a couple C-144s, and then there was one spot that it was marked as a Dolphin billet, but I was pretty sure it was a Jayhawk billet. And shot for that one and got it. Ended up in Traverse City, Michigan as my first pick. I have absolutely no regrets about that. So I got basic air crew for the 60 about a year ago, and I've actually had the opportunity to get most of my flight mechanic training done. I am one final flight away from wrapping all that up. But it's been, even in just the 2 years I've been here, it's exceeded my expectations in every way. So from here, I'm not entirely sure where the next station will be, but they're all sounding pretty good about now.
Tell me about how your family likes living here, and tell us about what, do you have children?
I'm married, but we have no children, so the work-life balance I really can't complain about. I can't speak for everyone else. My wife works as a pharmacy technician at our local hospital, and I'm here. So getting our schedules married up sometimes is a little difficult, but for the most part, we both love what we do, and the area has been fantastic. Her and I were both originally from California years back, and what we found about Traverse City is it encapsulates some of our favorite parts of different places we've lived. So there's parts of it that reminds me of my hometown of San Luis Obispo. There's other parts of it that reminds me of small town Massachusetts, where I spent a couple of years. And if you're willing to drive, you can find a big city. If you want it quiet, you can go to the outskirts. But Traverse City is just big enough that you've got options, but not so big that you're lost in everything. And then you have actual seasons, which, once again, as a Californian native, I love having the opportunity to enjoy snow, even if it is for most of the year. But it's still wonderful. So.
I'm going to take you back to Portsmouth and Tampa.
Yes.
And it was in Tampa that you decided that the seagoing life on the ocean rather than on the flight deck was your way. What about life in Tampa was it that conditioned you to that?
I don't have the nicest way to say it. So.
Oh, go ahead.
This
remember the words we're not supposed to say?
Yeah. When we were at home port, it was easy to pretend like everyone is happy. But as soon as we cast off the mooring lines, I felt like not everyone in the crew, but there's always those people that as soon as the mooring lines were cast off, all of their problems immediately became your problems. And it was less of a team and more about how do we survive until either the next port call, until we make home port. And I saw plenty of people who had either a failed marriage or multiple failed marriages. And I don't want to say that that was specifically because of the time away from home, but it looked like there might have been a correlation there, and I didn't necessarily want to join that. So with the overarching attitudes of most of the people who were stationed on the cutter versus the overarching attitudes of the aviators I came into contact with, there was a sharp difference in the happiness of those two groups of people.
So if we had more time, I would deliver myself with some pontification on the personality of a ship's crew, because that's where all of my experience is. I was the captain of six different Coast Guard cutters, not of Tampa or her sisters, but of Reliance, which is a 210. And so, but we don't have time for that. And so we're going to move on and to Senior Chief Hirsch. And so, Senior Chief, I always start my remarks when I meet a Chief Petty Officer by saying that I am enormously grateful to you and to your brothers who have subscribed to the Chief's Creed, because I was raised by Chief Petty Officers. And I had my first command as the captain of a patrol boat out of San Diego. I was the only officer, and I had two chiefs, and both of them were not very well educated, but they exemplified everything that I came to learn was what the Chief's Creed was all about. They were wonderful, wonderful teachers, incredibly respectful, and on a 95-foot patrol boat, the captain's absentee pennant is really small, and every day, my XPO, Chief Wallace J. Alexander, BMC, would be at the brow to greet me. The captain's absentee pennant would come down. At the end of the day, he would be there to send me ashore. The absentee pennant would go up. And he was a wonderful teacher. And my other chief was Ed Flynn, who was, as you can imagine, an Irish. In those days, they were called enginemen, but MK, what we call MK today. And he was also a wonderful, wonderful teacher. So my first ship out of the academy, the chief's mess, the goat locker, was not what one could call the best that one could ever have. But then I moved into my first command with these two chiefs, and they taught me so much about people, about ship handling, about everything to be a good captain. So some of the things that I carry, and that's why I'm interested in what Petty Officer Murphy is talking about, Tampa's personality. He's telling me things that I would love to have had a chance to work on. So that's what I have to say about Chief Petty Officer, Senior Chief. And now I want to talk you to talk to us about what you do here at the air station and about being a Chief Petty Officer. And so it's over to you.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. So I'm the leading Chief Petty Officer here at Air Station Traverse City. My primary role is to take care of the personnel within the Aviation Engineering Department, which is about 45 folks, everything from awards to marks, employee reviews, schools, special schools. I review all the syllabi, flight and ground related stuff, any personnel related. So if it's not maintenance related, I usually have my hands in it with folks. So it's a rewarding job. Again, 2 years into it here at the Air Stay. You know, every time somebody gets qualified, you know, I know that, you know, all my instructors, you know, the unit's instructors, you know, had a hand in that. You know, I see that when I'm reviewing each page of the syllabus. So, you know, it's being an instructor, you know, in the past, in the age 65, I know what it takes to, you know, for folks to get that qualification, and I'm thankful for folks eager to earn that qual, but also eager to teach any qualification. So a little bit about me. Graduated high school in 2002, went to college, thought I wanted to go to college. Two colleges and three majors later, realized it wasn't for me, so joined the Coast Guard in 2005. So I've got just over 18 years in. Went to Cutter Rush out in Honolulu, so WHEC 723 out of Sand Island for those out there, and wanted to go aviation the whole time. AMT all the way with a slight lean towards AST. But at that time, I wanted to do my 4 years and get out. And here we are, 18 years later. So went to Barbers Point, Air Station Barbers Point for Airman Program. Loved it. Loved the unit. Didn't care for Oahu, the island, much. But honestly, the unit was great. And just like Pastor Murphy said, the aviation side was night and day. I wanted to be a part of that. I was gravitated towards that. AMT A School in Elizabeth City, summer of 2006, earned my first pick, which was Traverse City, Michigan. So I got here, so I was stationed here 06 to 11, got qualified in the H-65, had great first classes, watch captains and role models, still keep in touch with a lot of them. A lot of them are retired here in the area. Out of here, went to Barranquin, Puerto Rico for 3 years, and then on to Sector Humboldt Bay in Northern California, and Port Angeles, Washington after that. And here, been here for 2 years. So besides the Barranquin tour, love the colder northern weather. So, yeah, aviation, anything, planes, helicopters, space, you name it. My grandfathers were in World War II, so my dad's dad was a tail gunner, B-29, and my mom's dad was a navigator, B-17. So got his wings actually downstairs on my desk. But everything aviation. I mean, very interested in anything aviation.
How many chief petty officers are there in the goat locker here at Air Station Traverse City?
So right now we're a little low because of transferring members, retirements, inbound, outbound, but usually we're sitting right around 13 to 14.
Where do you do your chief's initiations?
Well, you know, we have a big area of responsibility, so some of it takes place on this base and some in between, you know, here in the Sioux and Charlevoix and Northern Consolidated Mass, Northern Great Lakes Consolidated Mass.
Oh. All right, so I'm going to move now in a smart and seamanlike fashion to the commanding officer. And since you and I have already talked about some of the things that that I know that Captain Joe's people are interested in hearing, I'm going to just slide this over to you and then let you get started. And in particular, since you've already talked about the how somebody came from West Point to here, but that's an interesting thing for Coast Guard people. And so I'm going to ask you to briefly characterize that, briefly characterize a little bit of the flying that you did in the Army, and then shift over to the business of saving lives, which is what you and I have done all of our working lives. You're going to be doing it for your life. Senior Chief, you do it. So that's what we've done, and that's what we want to do, and so the risks and hazards that we endure in order to make that happen, Senior Chief, is part of the training that gets you ready. Senior Chief, you were the ones that monitored his PQS, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right, so it's over to you, Skipper.
Captain Joe, thank you. Thank you for letting us host you. Just quickly, before I hit some of those things that you just mentioned, I just wanted to also thank you for letting us put on two of our top performers here. And really, when you talk about Senior Chief Hurst and Petty Officer Murphy, who we know as Murph, I mean, in their rank and in their positions are two of our top performers here. And so it's great. This is what I love doing, is giving them an opportunity to give their opinions and get their story out too. The one thing I got to say, though, that you inadvertently did, and you didn't even realize it. I know I very much appreciate going from maybe the most junior around to the most senior, but actually you went from the saltiest sea time-wise to the least. Of course, that goes back to my background from coming over from the Army. I did once land on the Cutter Campbell halfway between Bermuda and Elizabeth City for to get fuel and for a head call. But that is honestly really kind of some of the extent of my sea time. So I took a very different path to get here, as you mentioned. But I came out of high school. I played lacrosse in high school. I was looking to play in college. I was lucky enough to be recruited by a couple of the academies in the Naval Academy in West Point. My parents are from New York, so my dad had an inkling to push me towards West Point, and it just seemed to fit me better when I went for the visits. Flash forward down the road, I'm now through West Point. I'm flying in the Army. I spent several years flying. First station was in Germany. We did imminent danger deployments to the Balkans, Albania, Kosovo, to Bosnia, Herzegovina. I finished with a tour in Iraq right at the very end. But the whole time I was there, I knew of other pilots, Army pilots, who had switched over to the Coast Guard through a program called the Direct Commission Aviator Program. And I was interested in that. And I also had one of my best friends from high school who had gone to the Coast Guard Academy, and we kept comparing notes. So around 2003, I think it was, maybe it was the end of 2002 before I deployed to Iraq, I visited him at Air Station Miami. I looked around, compared notes. I thought it was pretty good gig they had going on, and I was very interested in coming over. Flash forward to the end of my deployment to Iraq, I came back and I finished my package for that specific board, and I was lucky enough to be picked up on the December 2003 board, and I reported to Air Station Elizabeth City in March of 2004. My mission, I'm very proud of my time in the Army. I think in some ways you're only professionally born once. So there's a lot of things that were instilled upon me, both at West Point and then later on as I was a young leader and a young officer in the Army that I still utilize today, still in my tool bag, so to speak. And I really learned a lot there about people skills and communicating and the importance of it. And I found that I actually enjoyed doing it and enjoyed taking care, having the responsibility of taking care of people while also trying to work on a mission or work on a task at hand to get it done. So I have no regrets about my time in the Army. But there was a lot of things that looked greener on the other side of the fence. I think some of those things included quality of life overall. Wouldn't have to go on the same type of deployments, maybe as many deployments. The mission, the idea of doing search and rescue really appealed to me. And then finally, you know, I knew I was going to be living by a beach somewhere. You know, it might be a freshwater beach. It might be a rocky beach up in the Pacific Northwest, or it could be a sandy beach. Who knew? But I was going to live and get a chance to live in some really great places like I have, like Alaska, like Traverse City. So it's been a great ride for me. I came over in 2004 now, so I'm at 19 years. I'll leave here right about 20 years in the Coast Guard. I'm a total of 27 years total in service right now. A couple things, I think specifically about search and rescue, and Captain, you and I were talking about this before the broadcast. I think one of the things that's been really great, and it's something special about being in a Coast Guard search and rescue helicopter crew, is that when people ask me, hey, what's it like? That's awesome to get to. I said, I'm a cog on a wheel in a machine, which is the Coast Guard, which did what it needed to do to save this person's life, right? If you think about the distress call going out, if you think about the command center receiving that distress call, if you think about all the calls that go out from there, the maintenance crews that get the aircraft once the watchstander gets the call at the air stations, the maintenance crews that get notified and they start pushing the aircraft out. And then it comes down to the four people that jump in the plane and get to go fly it. And but the cog where I am, the cog that I am, I get to be right at the very tip of the spear. And when we prosecute that case and actually get to see those people up close and personal and face to face of the people that I was part of this machine that helped them and ultimately at times saved their life. Yeah. It's very rewarding. It's very rewarding. So that has been very rewarding for me. The way the Coast Guard works compares to the Army, I've been able to stay as a qualified search and rescue pilot essentially my whole career, and I'm still doing that today. But I got to say this about flying and about the mission of search and rescue. It is everything that we just described. However, for me, I think the thing that really keeps me around at this point in my career is the people, right? That yoke of leadership, that you have the responsibility of taking care of these people that have been entrusted to you. And you said it at the beginning of the broadcast about it is a privilege, and I see it very much that way. And I think to me, and there's lots that's involved in that, right? There's taking care of them, there's taking care of their families, there's also motivating them and challenging them, and you're challenging yourself to become better versions of ourselves and to get to improve, but also to get whatever tasks we have at hand to support the organization done. And I think in my career professionally, I've never found anything as rewarding as when somebody who you are responsible for, that I'm responsible for, demonstrates to you through their actions. And I don't mean by, let's see what word we can use, kiss and tail. Is that okay?
Sure.
I don't mean by a kiss and tail or blowing smoke,
yeah,
but by their
sure.
genuine actions that they were appreciative and glad that you were responsible for them and that you were leading them.
So my command philosophy, because it's my program, Truman, and I get to use the last couple of minutes to pontificate from the captain's chair. And my command philosophy was, and it was motivated to a formed up to a large extent by these two chief petty officers that I told you about who were with me in my first command, is that we accomplish the mission and we take care of the people that are entrusted to us to accomplish that mission. And both of those things are mutually exclusive. They both have to happen at exactly the same time, and neither of them can be discarded. So that was the first one. And then the captain's corollary to that is, comes from the old cavalry. You know the cavalry saying?
There's a couple of them. I'm not sure which one you're.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you right now, West Point graduate. The old cavalry dictum is that the good general makes sure that his men and his horses are fed before himself.
Yes, sir.
Had you heard that before? Did they teach you that on the plane at West Point?
Oh, they taught us that through all the trainings for everything we did. Everything we did in the Army. Yep.
All right. And then
that was the standard.
Okay. And then the captain's corollary to that is that the captain shall show no fear. Because as soon as the captain or the aircraft commander shows some fear, then the whole thing will fall apart.
Agreed.
And I worked for a captain once where that happened. Actually, I only worked for one captain. I only did one XO tour. XO's day is never done, by the way. And so I only did one XO tour, and that was in Vietnam. And I served a captain who was a very unusual sort of guy, but he and I had the kind of relationship that every crew hopes that they have. It was, I loved him as a person. I respected him as my captain. And he felt the same way about me. And when we came back from Vietnam, I pleaded up and relieved him. So, but when he got me and when that crew got me, I had already had two commands at sea. So I was no virgin when it came to how to both run a ship and how to take care of a crew. So the program that we did last week, we had one of my Vietnam shipmates on with me, and it was just a great, great program. If you want to listen to one where it's just not only fun, but it is just people who really, it was just a great program. So it remains for me to, first of all, wish you and your lovely wife every happiness and success here, that there will be times under the tender ministrations of some chief petty officer when you are going to say, I don't want to do it anymore. And then you'll find somebody that will say, Murph, pull it out of your butt and pick it up and roll it out. You're going to be fine. Senior Chief, where are you in the Master Chief continuum?
So right now, the list came out about two weeks ago. So I'm number 4 of 17. So that was my first look at E9. And I'm, fingers crossed, hoping to take the upstairs job.
And to clarify one thing on that, the captain, his Master Chief is now done by a board instead of service-wise. And
okay, good.
Calculated list.
Yeah, I'm all in favor of boards for that kind of thing. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I've been the president of many promotion boards, so I know, yeah, that's a good idea.
So I'm looking forward to it. If folks aren't willing to show what they can provide to the service at any pay grade, then somebody behind you will.
Mm-hmm. So. That's the way I felt about it. I would rather have commanded a kayak than to have to go ashore. So we are now at 8 bells of the afternoon watch. And this is indeed your Captain Joe. And I've been privileged to spend a little bit of time with Petty Officer Murphy and Senior Chief Hirsch and Commander Shano, the commanding officer of the Coast Guard Station, Air Station at Traverse City. I am immersed in Coast Guard aviation, and I feel very much loved by being here. So this is, as always, from your captain, from the captain's chair. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe, always on station and watching properly.